Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to begin today by correcting myself in the bulletin, as I accidentally left off two verses. So to recap about the fruit of the spirits from our epistle lesson to Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Both our Old Testament lesson and our epistle lesson, and honestly so our gospel lesson, show us that there are two ways to live life. There is the way of life, and there is the way of death. Now, it's very clear what the way of death looks like. You heard these words written by Solomon. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. This is the way that leads to death. What does it look like to be living in that way? St. Paul writes, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." And he gives a long list, much as he does in other places. These are those, if you live this way, you will not inherit heaven. You will not inherit eternal life. Rather, you will have eternal death. And this is the list. The works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. If you are not a Christian, this is how you are naturally inclined to live. I used to spend a lot of time wondering why there were so many people out there that did not live the way God's word says to live. And eventually, God helped me to realize that those who have rejected him, or those who do not have the Holy Spirit, they are naturally inclined, because of sin, to follow these desires of the flesh. And that helped me to understand. I used to get so frustrated when I would see couple after couple living together outside of marriage. Or on my way to church on Sunday morning, I would see person upon person sleeping or walking their dog or going for a run or riding their bicycles or playing any given sports. And I used to get so frustrated. How can people be doing this? Until I realized that they have not been converted. They do not have the Holy Spirit living in them. They are on the path to destruction. They are following the desires of their flesh. Now, that doesn't actually make it any easier for me, though, does it? And it doesn't make it any easier for you either. Just because you can finally understand why so many people are living outside of what God's word says, that does not actually make it easier now to walk past them, does it? To know that they are that way because they have rejected the gospel, or they do not have the Holy Spirit and therefore are destined for hell. But it shows you just how much work we as the church have before us. If we see all of these people who are drowning in the muck that is their sin, is it better for us to simply pass and say nothing? Or is it better for us to proclaim the truth? We are not to walk in the desires of our flesh. Sin has so corrupted even us that it makes it hard. We want to live like everybody else. Isn't it easier to sleep in on Sunday morning? Isn't it easier to cohabitate or to fornicate or to live like everybody else? But the fact is that you are weird because you are different, because you are set apart. You are not the world. The world does not have a claim on you. God has called you out of the darkness of that path onto His light. His light is the path to eternal life. So you are not called to live like the flesh desires. Rather, you are called to live as the Holy Spirit desires. You have been baptized, you have been washed, you have been made clean, and in that baptism, you have been exorcised of the devil. The Holy Spirit has claimed you as His own, and His desires now live inside of you. Because you are filled with the Spirit, you no longer desire those works of the flesh. You no longer desire adultery, but rather you desire marriage. You desire to live within the bonds of holy matrimony as God has created it. You desire to bring forth the fruits of that marriage as God so desires for life. You are called not to fornicate, not to live under uncleanness, or to be lewd and speak like everybody else. No, you have been called to be different. Rather, you have the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. St. Paul says there is no law against these because this is what God desires of you, His children. He desires all to believe this and be saved. That sin and the desire of the flesh is strong. Adam and Eve failed to obey the word of God, and it brought forth death. And now that death is a part of our lives. But Jesus Christ has conquered that death. He has conquered it, and instead He has washed over you with His blood. And now He comes to you and He says, "Take my body. Receive my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." This is the way of life. Live by my Spirit. Live in the way that our Father desires for you, His children, to live. Realize that the desires of the flesh will only lead you to eternal damnation, not eternal life. God doesn't seek for you to be joyful in your flesh. He rather seeks for you to be joyful in what His Son has done for you. And that's what true joy is. That's what true thankfulness is. To be truly joyful is to know that this life is not all that there is. That this life is but a short amount of time in comparison to the eternity that you will spend with your Lord and your Maker. Solomon writes not only about the way that leads to death, but he also writes about the light. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. This is the way of life. Exactly what you're doing right now. Hearing His word, believing in it, and finding joy in salvation. But that's not the end of it, is it? Because if we just came and we worshiped, and we didn't let the gospel predominate through the rest of our lives, how are we assisting those who are not on the way, who are living in the way of death? No, you must show them. And they see that through the joy that is in you. Why on earth are you smiling? Jesus died for my sins. My eternity is secure. How on earth are you happy? Don't you know all the bad things that are going on? Jesus Christ has conquered it, and He's coming back. There is joy for us, because it's not just about here and now. It's about what is still to come. We give thanks to the one who has done all these things. We are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Yes, it's easier for you to sleep in on Sunday or to prepare for whatever game you're going to watch later. It is easier for you to simply live however your flesh wants you to live day in and day out, but it is not easier to spend eternity in hell. The easier path here is the way of life. Not that it's going to be easy for you day in and day out. No, you must crucify the flesh. You must put your flesh in submission to the Holy Spirit. But He has done it all for you. You are saved by grace through faith. And that is evident in our gospel lesson. The story of the 10 lepers is also used oftentimes for Thanksgiving Day. And it's ironic that we still have a Thanksgiving Day because there are so many people out there who fail to remember who they're actually thankful to. Sure, they might spend some time on that day eating some turkey with some family. Maybe they'll even say what they're thankful for. But if you are not acknowledging who you're thankful to, the fact that God has given you everything to support your body and life, the fact that God has given you that food, that God has given you that spouse and your parents and your children, that God has given you that house that you're gathering in, the clothes that you're wearing, that God has given you all of these things as gifts from a Father who loves you. What is the point of a day of Thanksgiving? But we who are in the way of life, we recognize who we're thankful to. And so we have our story. Jesus heals 10 lepers, 10 men who are lepers, who are cast off from their family, from those that they love, from worship in the temple, come before Him. And they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Do we not come to Him today and do the same thing? Did we not cry out loudly with our voices, "Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us." And just as Jesus heard their cry, their prayer, He heard ours too. And He says, "I will have mercy. Be healed." We may not be physically leprous, but spiritually we come and we are. The sins that hung around us during the week are still there until we approach Him and ask for His forgiveness. With a repentant heart, we turn to the only one who can forgive our sins and make us whole. And so we cry out with the lepers, "Master, have mercy on us." Jesus hears our prayer and He pronounces to us forgiveness. Jesus heard their prayer and said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And on their way, they go and they see that they are healed. But only one out of those 10 come back. And he cries out the same thing that we cry out after we just confessed, "Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us." His cry, His song of salvation is ours. With a loud voice, he glorified God. "Glory be to God on high," we sing out. He has healed us. The leprous man who has been cleansed falls to his face and gives God the glory. He gives Him thanks. And if we truly understood just how wicked and evil our sins are in the face of a righteous God, that's the same position we would be in. We would be in a position of worship, down on the ground, on our faces, giving Him glory and thanks. Because now we have been cleansed. Now we may return to our homes, to our families, to those that we love. We may participate in community. We may gather as a church and worship Him because He has cleansed us. But only one out of the 10 remembered who it was that he should give thanks to. Jesus even references this. Were there not 10 cleansed? But only this foreigner, only that Samaritan, as we talked about last week, he's the only one who's come. But Jesus says to him, "Arise, Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has given you the forgiveness of sins. Because you believe that Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross and died there, that he shed his blood for you. Because you believe that on the third day he rose again from the dead, because you believe these things, Jesus' death and resurrection are counted to you as righteousness. It is the great exchange. Your death became his, that his life become yours. So we return thanks. We give him praise because he has done all these things for us. The church sings, "Since then neither change nor coldness in my Father's love can be. Lo, I lift my hands with boldness, as thy child I come to thee. Grant me grace, O God, I pray thee, that I may with all my might, all my lifetime, day and night, love and trust thee and obey thee, and when this brief life is over, praise and love thee evermore. Amen." Peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.